Turning now to our lessons from Proudhon, our Pierre-Joseph Proudhon readings. And we are continuing with chapter 5. Now, all systems exist only on certain conditions, and my comment, that of class, being to train children to be puppets of authority. What then, he asks, are the conditions, the laws of human society? What are the rights of men with respect to each other? What is justice? In my comment, he, of course, is talking about what should be, what must be for us to be human. Not in his worst dreams could he imagine what we are accepting today as our reality. Continuing. What is justice? It amounts to nothing to say, with the philosophers of various schools, it is a divine instinct, an immortal and heavenly voice, a guide given by nature, a light revealed unto every man on coming into the world, a law engraved upon our hearts. It is the voice of conscience, the dictum of reason, the inspiration of sentiment, the penchant of feeling. It is the love of self in others. It is enlightened self-interest, or else it is an innate idea, the imperative command of applied reason, which has its source in the concepts of pure reason. It is a passional attraction, etc., etc. This may be as true as it seems, beautiful, but it is utterly meaningless. Though we should prolong this litany through 10 pages, it has been filtered through 1,000 volumes, we should be no nearer to the solution of the question. Justice is public utility, says Aristotle. Well, he would, wouldn't he? This is true, says Proudhon, but it is a tautology. The principle, he's quoting, the principle that the public welfare ought to be the object of the legislator, says Monsieur Charles Comte in his Treatise on Legislation, cannot be overthrown. But legislation is advanced no farther by its announcement and demonstration than is medicine when it is said that it is the business of physicians to cure the sick. Unquote from Monsieur Comte. Let's take another course, says Proudhon. Right is the sum total of the principles which govern society. And I comment there, let's hope he's not about to take class or class society as a given, as a jumping off place for determining what we and our associations should be about fundamentally. Continuing. Justice, he says, in man is the respect and observation of those principles. That is to say, the sum total of the principles which govern society. Right. To practice justice is to obey the social instinct. And I would say that would mean to be in harmony with the earth, which means being in harmony with our bodies, respecting their longing to be free, crediting it when they tell us we are not, despite the education, quote unquote, we receive. Continuing, to do an act of justice is to do a social act. If, then, we watch the conduct of men toward each other under different circumstances, it will be easy for us to distinguish between the presence and absence of society. From the result, we may inductively infer the law. Let's commence with the simplest and least doubtful cases. The mother who protects her son at the peril of her life and sacrifices everything to his support is in society with him. She is a good mother. She, on the contrary, who abandons her child, is unfaithful to the social instinct, maternal love being one of its many features. She is an unnatural mother. And I comment that in the preface to Waking Up, I noted that animals in zoos often turn on their own babies. But, this aside, I don't doubt that Proudhon would recognize in psychic abandonment, abandonment still. And in the poisonous pedagogues of his day and beyond, and in its adherents that we call Plato's tribesmen, a most unnatural band of humans. Continuing. If I plunge into the water to rescue a drowning man, I am his brother, his associate. If, instead of aiding him, I sink him, I am his enemy, his murderer. And this recalls our point made in an earlier chapter, chapter 2, but as we're reading out of sequence, we haven't reached yet. In our response to his point that equality is an absolute right, because without equality, there is no society. In response to that point he makes, we quoted Karl Polanyi, to allow the market mechanism to be sole director of the fate of human beings and their natural environment, i.e., my comment on that, to allow the ranking of us by means of the market mechanism, the market value assignment, which is structurally enforced absence of equality. Continuing, indeed, even of the amount and use of purchasing power would result in the demolition of society, unquote from Polanyi. Clearly, we are there. The stakes have never been higher. No more pressing a time for us to reclaim our lives. Continuing, whoever bestows alms treats the poor man as his associate. Not thoroughly, it's true, but only in respect to the amount which he shares with him. Whoever takes by force or stratagem that which is not the product of his labor destroys his social character. He is a brigand, a gang member that ambushes and robs. What a perfect definition of Plato's tribesmen. Continuing, the Samaritan who relieves the traveler lying by the wayside, dresses his wounds, comforts him, and supplies him with money, thereby declares himself his associate, his neighbor. The priest who passes by on the other side remains unassociated and is his enemy. And I comment, notice how far we've come, we modern class humans, from our humanness, our authenticness. It is in the juxtaposition with our natural longing to be in society with one another that the psychic isolation imposed on us by the global class system is disclosed. And this is discussed in our April 3rd, 2016 show. And I'll just conclude with a few more words from Proudhon. In all these cases, says Proudhon, man is moved by an internal attraction toward his fellow, by a secret sympathy which causes him to love, congratulate, and condole, so that to resist this attraction, his will must struggle against his nature. But in these respects, there's no decided difference between man and the animals. With them, as long as the weakness of their young endears them to their mothers, in a word, associates them with their mothers, the latter protect the former. And I comment here that I have witnessed, and this wasn't an instance of a mother being endeared to her, or her children being endeared to a mother, but I witnessed seagulls, how a weakness in one of their fellows inspired them to help. We see then what a complete overthrow of our natures is accomplished with poisonous pedagogy, when children are led to despise weakness. So, continuing with Proudhon, so children are naturally associated with their mothers. The latter protect the former at the peril of their lives with a courage which reminds us of our heroes dying for their country. And I have to comment, let's update this, please. Now that we've got a good look at our global band of brigands, who coalesced in the aftermath of the French Revolution and their cynical adoption of fascism when it suits their purpose, the Plato's tribesmen. Let's update this to read, for the freedom of human beings globally. And we'll end on that note, take it up in our future shows. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful you're there. Love you much. And I'm hoping we all begin to share all of ourselves with each other very soon. Until next week. Peace.
Go on.